If you are worried you have Lyme disease, or just like the outdoors, and want the peace of mind of knowing whether you have Lyme disease or not, there is a new Lyme screening test based on decades of research by Dr. Richard Marconi, a professor at VCU Medical Center. For more information, visit glymedx.com. That's glymedx.com. Or email at info@glymedx.com.
Infectious diseases, research, medicine, health. Welcome to Outbreak News Interviews. And now, broadcasting from the Outbreak News Skylar Studios in beautiful West Central Florida, here is your host, microbiologist and editor of OutbreakNewsToday.com, Robert Harriman.
When most people think of tick-borne diseases, Lyme disease typically comes to mind. However, there are several types of tick-borne diseases, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever is one of the more acute ones that can potentially be fatal. Thus, prompt antibiotic treatment is critical. Joining me to talk about Rocky Mountain spotted fever and a new study published in the Journal of Pediatrics, which talks about the drug of choice, doxycycline, and how the warning of possible tooth staining in children under 8 may be doing more harm than good, is Dr. Jennifer McQuiston. She is a CDC epidemiologist and one of the study's authors. Hello, Dr. McQuiston, and thank you for coming on the show.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me on.
My pleasure. Before we get into your study, because many in the audience are lay people and they may not be familiar with the disease that much, let's go over some of the basics about Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and let's start with what is it?
Well, Rocky Mountain spotted fever is a tick-borne disease. It's a bacterial disease, and it's transmitted by certain species of ticks. And it can be found in many parts of the United States. Unlike its name, it is not only found in the Rocky Mountains. It's actually most commonly reported from the eastern and central United States. Tennessee, Kentucky, Kansas, Oklahoma tend to have a lot of cases. North Carolina has a lot of cases. But honestly, Rocky Mountain spotted fever can be found almost anywhere within the contiguous 48 United States. So anywhere there are ticks, you should have this in the back of your mind.
Sure. And hence the name. What are the symptoms of Rocky Mountain spotted fever?
Well, it causes a spotted fever.
Sure.
So
rash
is a very common symptom of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, but a lot of people think you have to have a rash with it. And between 10 and 15% of people may not ever get a rash, and many people don't get a rash until they're several days into illness. So we really encourage doctors not to wait for that rash when they're starting treatment. Most people also get a fever. The initial symptoms might be that the temperature pops up, they get a really bad headache, they may not feel well, they may not want to eat, they may be very tired. What makes this disease so concerning is that it actually infects the blood cells that line our blood vessels. And so as the disease begins to progress untreated, it begins to destroy those cells, and our blood vessels begin to leak, and it can affect every organ in our body. So as Rocky Mountain spotted fever progresses untreated, it can look like many different things. If it's destroying the vessels in our lungs, it can look like pneumonia. If it's destroying the blood vessels in our kidneys, it can look like kidney disease, it can look like liver disease. And so it's a really confusing disease for doctors to try to figure out and treat properly.
And it's really a pretty severe disease also.
It can be very severe. I think with any disease, you have a spectrum of severity. And Rocky Mountain spotted fever tends to be on the more severe side, certainly.
Okay. So in the United States, ballpark, how many cases do we usually see on an annual basis?
Well, it can be difficult to separate out Rocky Mountain spotted fever from some of its close relatives. The tests we use to diagnose it can cross-react with other related tick-borne diseases, too. But if you look at the whole spectrum of what gets reported as Rocky Mountain spotted fever, it's between 2,000 and 4,000 cases every year.
Okay. Is it a reportable disease?
It is a reportable disease,
good.
Yes. Anytime a physician has diagnosed a case, they should report it to their state health department.
Now, a physician sees a patient that may have suspected Rocky Mountain spotted fever, you know, Should they be waiting for laboratory diagnosis?
That's a really good question, and absolutely not. So, so what a physician should be doing when they see somebody who looks pretty sick this way, they should be asking a history. Have they recently had a tick bite? Have they been in an area and been involved in activities that might put them at increased risk for tick exposure? Because not everybody recalls a tick bite.
Sure.
And they should be trying to kind of piece together a history that, that gives them a sense of, okay, maybe I should put the right antibiotic on board just to be sure. The problem with Rocky Mountain spotted fever is that if you wait to see if the patient's going to get worse, or you just wait to see if that lab result comes back, the patient can get very, very much worse very, very quickly.
Right.
And if they don't get that antibiotic on board by about the fifth day of fever, up to 50% of people can die from their infection.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the study. And doxycycline, which is a relative of tetracycline.
Right. It's an antibiotic, and it's been around for a long time. It was first manufactured in the 1960s and began to be used widely in the 1970s.
Okay. And one of the things we've all learned, even me as a young child, was you don't give tetracycline or tetracycline derivatives to children under 8.
Right, because the old tetracyclines, the ones that were sort of on the first generation, and these are drugs that we still use today as well, they bind to calcium when they're given to a patient. And in a young child whose teeth are still developing, they can bind to the developing teeth, and when those teeth come out, they can have a very severe staining or banding pattern. And because of that, understandably, the Food and Drug Administration requires that a label be put on tetracyclines, warning doctors of this risk and discouraging their use in young children. Tetracyclines are still commonly given to older kids because once your teeth are out, it's no longer going to cause that staining. It's only when the teeth are developing. But interestingly, doxycycline is sort of a newer, or was at the time considered a newer type of tetracycline, and it is known not to bind to calcium the same way the older tetracyclines did. But for better or worse, it carried the same warning label since the 1970s, and so doctors are very hesitant to give it to children.
Yeah, and I was looking at the CDC website concerning this, and they cite a 2012 national survey and says 80% of clinicians correctly selected doxycycline as the treatment of choice in
older kids and adults.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but only 35% said they would give it to a
child under 8.
8, which is really concerning to us.
And that leads right into your study.
Right, because kids die from Rocky Mountain spotted fever 5 times more often than adults, and we think that's why. We think it's because of that decision point that doctors are just not comfortable giving the right drug.
Okay, so what else did you find in your study?
In the study where we looked at children's teeth?
Yes.
Well, what we did was we went into a part of the United States where there has been an epidemic of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, actually. It's occurring on some Indian reservations in Arizona. It's associated with a type of tick that is found on the dogs that live on the reservation. Mm-hmm. And because those dogs are bringing the ticks into people's houses, a lot of kids have been exposed, and a lot of kids have actually died. And so we've been working with the tribes to raise awareness, and we've been working with the doctors who see the kids who live on that reservation so that they know doxycycline is the right drug to give. And they have been giving it for about 10 years. They've been giving any child who comes in with 2 days or more of fever on a reservation, particularly if they have a history of being around ticks, they'll give that child doxycycline. And that means there are a lot of kids on the reservation who got doxycycline before the age of 8 and who are now old enough that those teeth that were affected at the time they got the drug are now out, and we can look at them and see if we can see any effect.
Okay, so the overall message here is for pediatricians, I imagine. You know,
pediatricians and also general practitioners. A lot of general practitioners still see kids,
or ER doctors.
ER doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of early Rocky Mountain spotted fever cases come into the emergency room.
Sure. So if they see a young child with these symptoms, they should not hesitate to treat.
Right. So what we found in our study, we compared 58 kids who received doxycycline to 213 kids who had never gotten doxycycline. And we blinded the dentists who were looking at their teeth. They didn't know when they were looking at the child whether they had gotten doxycycline or not. And we asked them to look to see any signs of banding or staining. We asked them to actually use an instrument to measure the color of the child's teeth. And we also had them look for signs of what we call hypoplasia, which is kind of a lessening of the enamel surface, which has also been associated with the really old tetracyclines, but not doxycycline. And when they compared the two groups, they found absolutely no difference between them. The kids had the same color teeth. Nobody showed signs of staining, and they had the same degree of very low levels of hypoplasia between them, which is just a consequence of other things. So no difference at all, which tells us doctors should really be not worried about giving doxycycline to kids. And I can tell you, my own daughter had a tick-borne disease that was very close to Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, and she was five, and I felt very comfortable giving her doxycycline when she had it.
Sure. And like you said early on in the interview, that it binds the calcium differently than tetracycline.
Right. Yeah. So it's not surprising to us that this was the outcome. And, you know, there have been some smaller studies in the past that looked and didn't find anything. This is the largest one to date. This is the biggest study we've ever done looking at this. And we really feel that the label needs to be looked at more carefully. We feel that the label itself might be doing harm by changing doctors' willingness to use it when they need to. I don't think any doctor who absolutely knew the child they were treating had Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever would hesitate. I mean, it's a potentially fatal disease.
Sure.
But the doctors we want to change the minds of are those that are looking at a kid and the kid looks a little sick, and they're not really sure. That's the point at which they should be starting the antibiotic before they get very sick. But that label is making them hesitate.